Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
When your faith is taken away, your life becomes noticeably, categorically more negative if you don't have faith. There's a good God. It's going to turn around. Something's going to break. But when you have unbelief, the Bible said that they were offended to him, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. When you have unbelief, it prevents you from receiving God's help. It prevents God from becoming activated in your life, turning things around, breaking things. The Bible said that when they prayed, nothing happened. And when they asked the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast this demon out of this little boy? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Not only does unbelief prevent God from working in your life, it limits our ability to exercise power and help others. If you're a true believer, these signs shall follow them that believe. And then he goes on and tells what you're going to do for others. If you're a true believer, you help others. But if you are full of unbelief, you can't help others. The Bible said in Romans 11:20, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. This is one of the insidious results of unbelief. It excludes us from the greatest collection of people in the world, the family of God. You know, I love the family of God, the greatest people on the face of the earth. But if you don't believe that there is a God, then you can't believe in his family. And so it deprives you of the fellowship of the greatest group of people on the earth. Unbelief, the Bible said that Abraham staggered not because he had faith. And he staggered not because he could believe God. If you have unbelief, you'll stagger at all the promises of God. How do you get through? You know, suicide is epidemic in this country, in this world. And I can understand why. When from the pulpit and from the lack of going to church, we're the most unchurched generation that's ever lived in America. And so we stagger at the promises of God because we simply are filled with unbelief. We just don't believe. You know the reason why people didn't get up out of their bed and come to church today? Because they don't believe. They don't believe it matters. They don't believe God sees them. They don't believe God cares. And most of all, they don't believe that God will meet them here, so they don't come. They stagger at the promise of God. How do you get through life if you have no faith in the promises of God? You see, I live by the promises of God that is going to be with me every day. And I suppose psychologists, psychiatrists, agnostics, atheists, unbelievers, if I were to sit down and spend hours telling them my story and relating to them blessings in my life, I suppose they would just call that coincidence. But it's not to me. To me, it is fulfilled promises. It's a need that was in my life. I asked God to change it, and it did. I have tremendous faith in the promises of God, no matter what they are, whether it's that he will keep my spirit, save my soul, heal my body, give me daily bread. Whatever it is that I need, I've got faith in God's promises. But with unbelief, you staggered every promise of God and say, I simply don't believe that that happens. Unbelief, this is the worst thing of all. It deprives us of eternal life. Jesus himself said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Unbelief deprives us of eternal life. Jesus said again in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. And so the Bible teaches us that unbelief deprives us of eternal life. It must be terrible to get old. I see some of you that are getting old. I don't know what it's like, but it must be terrible. I feel for you people that are aging. Seriously, it must be terrible to get old and to realize that you're 70 or 80. And that you're only going to live maybe at best another 10 or 15 years, and you are filled with unbelief that there's not going to be any tomorrow. That when you die, I said to Becky day before yesterday, we was talking about somebody we knew, and I don't remember who it was now. It wasn't anybody in this church, but it was somebody that was exceedingly old, like 60. No, it was somebody like 90 years old. And they're making no attempt to live for God. I said, what's wrong? You know, with a young person, 15, you're just throwing the dice. You say, well, man, I'm 15. I'm going to live another 60 years, so I'm not going to make any relationship with God. And they hope that they live long enough, and it, as the writer said, at some convenient time, they'll get saved. But what happens in the thought process of a 75, 80, 90-year-old person, and they making no preparation for the next life? They might have prepared all of their life. They've got life insurance. They've got things laid up for their children. They got their will drawn, but they made no preparation for the next. Say, why? It's because they're filled with unbelief. They simply don't believe that Jesus Christ is going away to prepare a place for them. So I want to talk to you about the greatest things that Jesus has ever done for me. He's done great things in my life. It wasn't many years ago, almost all of you that are still here from a few years ago, you remember when they gave me up to die after my accident in Karnes County, and they airlifted me up here to Bansy and told Becky on Friday that he won't be here come Monday, but Monday I was fine, and they did the surgery, and a few weeks later I walked. That was a wonderful thing the Lord did for me. But it wasn't the first. I have a history with God. The greatest thing that can happen to you is to have a history with God. How many people in this building can lift your hand and say, I have a history with God? Oh, I have a history with God. It started when I was a little baby. When I was a little baby, I was born with terrible asthma. My mother took me to the hospital, or to the church, rather, and they prayed for me, and she said immediately she saw a difference in my breathing, took me back, and they said the asthma is gone. I went to the doctor the other day and had a checkup, and they got a test now they can give you for asthma, and they give you this drug. And in 30 days, they retest you. And so I went back in 30 days, and the doctor said, he asked me, he said, you have asthma as a baby? And I said, yeah, I did. He said, well, it comes back as you get older. He said, that's the history of asthma. You have it as a baby. Even if it goes away, it'll come back as you get older. So I went back after my 30-day test, and he said, you have no asthma at all, sir. I thought you would have. I have a history with God. So that was a good thing God did, that I've never had allergies. I've never had allergies. Everybody else has allergies, cedar allergies. But when God fixed me when I was a little bitty baby, he fixed me totally. And even the asthma specialist said, 74 years old, he still can't find asthma. He looked for it. It just wasn't there. Oh, God's done wonderful things in my life. He healed me at the hospital at Bamsey. He healed me of asthma. The doctor, my father died with prostate cancer, and so my doctor said, I'm sure you haven't put me through all kinds of tests, and not good tests, man, I'll tell you that. And then when I went back, he said, I was wrong, and I apologize for putting you through those tests. you don't have any cancer. If it was there, it went away. I'm going to tell you what, God has done good things for me. He's met my need, just financial deals, just tremendous. I had some property, and everybody around me leased their land for $25 an acre. And I just held out to the last one. And my neighbor, he was a lawyer. He leased his for $25 an acre. And finally, the oil man came to me as a place I own in San Marcos. And he said, sir, we got to have your property. He said, we're paying $25 an acre. I said, well, I'm going to need $100 an acre. And he said, only one thing. You got not tell your neighbor that's a lawyer that you got 100 and he got 25. So neighbor, if you're watching, I got 100. But that's just one little thing. I mean, just financial miracle after financial miracle after financial miracle. When we got ready to build these buildings on this property, it was a long story even to get the property, but it was zoned commercial. And so one of the neighbors got a little petition. And they got every neighbor signed it that we couldn't change the zoning, so we couldn't build a church here. And I fought it through City Hall. The zoning committee voted 100% against me. I appealed it to the city council, and the city council was prepared to vote for me. And all of a sudden, the woman that circulated the petition was there. She stood up and started crying. And she said, I don't know why, but I'm going to change my vote. I think the Reverend, you're the lady that signed the petition, that circulated, but she changed, and then 15 minutes later, she changed back, said, no, I don't think, she went back to the mayor and said, Mayor, I've changed my mind back. They shouldn't build that church. He said, too late, we've already voted. It was just the hand of the Lord. And folks, those are just daily things that the Lord does in my life. He heals me. He gives me money. He works miracles. He opens doors. He closes doors. He binds. He looses. Oh, those are just wonderful, wonderful things the Lord does in my life. But that's not the greatest thing the Lord has ever done in my life. The greatest thing the Lord has ever done in my life, He helped my unbelief. Now, I'm a person of regular intelligence. And all the time there is an assault on my faith that what I believe, which is just so elementary, I'm like a little child. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can heal me when I'm sick. If I have a pain, I just put my hand on saying Jesus' name. It just goes away. If I need money, I say, God, just open a door and money shows up. Folks, I'm going to tell you what, He is a very personal God to me. And He does great things. But the greatest thing that the Lord has ever done in my life, He literally took away my unbelief. I watch TV all the time, and it doesn't matter how secular they are. It doesn't matter how anti-Christ they are. It doesn't matter how anti-faith they are. It doesn't bother me. Because it's forever settled in my mind that there's a God in heaven. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that died for me. And He is a good God. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will be with me every day of my life. He holds me in the hollow of His hand. And so nobody or nothing can cause unbelief to be in my life. I am persuaded 100% that there is a God and He has prepared a home for me. And one of these days I'm going to see Him. I'm like Dr. Billy Graham. He said, one of these days you're going to read in your paper, see on your television, Dr. Graham has died. He said, don't believe it. I'll be more alive then than I am now. Somebody said, are you fear death? He said, fear death. I'm looking forward to it. Because he said, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. So it doesn't matter. I believe that God created us in His image. You say, that's a tough sell in this modern scientific world. I know. I don't believe in evolution. I believe God created. But there's so much scientific information. I understand about your science. But for some reason, when you got through with every textbook and every lecture and every microscope and every amoeba, when you get through, I still believe that God created man in his image. Josiah Whitney, one of the greatest American geologists that ever lived, he taught geology at Harvard University. He walked in one day and he said, I've just unearthed this skull. I've run tests on it. It's over 1 million years old. He said, so much for creation. Man is over 1 million years old by this skull. They've put it in a museum. People went by and awed it for years. And finally, just before he died, one of his associates said, I buried that skull myself, doctor. They retested that skull. It was a few hundred years old. And for years, the scientific community had said it was over 1 million years of age. I don't care if you're an archaeologist, if you're a scientist. I don't care if you're a theologian that says miracles are ended. It just doesn't matter to me because Jesus helped me with my unbelief. And I can just look in the face of facts and say, my faith is greater than facts. My faith is greater than feelings. My faith is greater than your argument. I have total confidence in my God. I believe in creation. Praise God. I believe I'm created in the very image of Almighty God. I have no other confidence anywhere else. Do you ever study successful people? I love to study successful people. I've met a number of them. It's always exciting and rewarding and fun to meet successful people. I've met several billionaires. I spent the day with Jerry Jones. I don't know what it is about me. I'm watching Kamala Harris. I think I could be a better president than she is. I watched Donald Trump. I think I could be a better president than he was. I watched Jerry Jones. I think I could be a better Cowboys. In my own mind, I'm just better at everything than everybody else, even though they got billions of dollars. So I've spent time with billionaires, and it's very interesting to be with these people. And not only do I spend time with a few of them that I've got to meet, but I read about all of them. I'm just amazed. There's a man by the name of Warren Buffett. Do you know who Warren Buffett is? He's called the Oracle of Omaha. He's from Omaha. And he is a billionaire. He's been the richest man in the world so many times, but he has given away now half of his billions. He's 92 years old. He's given away half of his billions, and so he's no longer the billionaire that he was. He's no longer the richest man in the world, but he could be. He's worth $26 billion. $26 billion. He's done it just by investing on the stock market. He's a very interesting guy. He plays the ukulele. He lives in the same house he's lived in. He drives a 10-year-old car, and he's worth $26 billion. Well, I was watching a little clip on him, a little documentary, and so they had him sitting on a stage like this, and they had 3,000 people there, and you come to the microphone and ask questions. And so they're all asking questions, just great questions, and he was giving answers, how you get rich and how you make money, just so. And suddenly a 30-year-old man, young man, walked up to the microphone and said, Mr. Buffett, I have a question. Do you know Jesus Christ, and are you saved? He said, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? He's 92 years old. And Mr. Buffett, the richest man in the world at various times, said, I do not know Jesus, and I don't believe there is a God. I'm an agnostic. Now, when I die, I might be wrong. I'll see. Mr. Buffett's going to be too late then. He said, if you'd asked my mother and my daddy that question, they would have said, yes, we're Christians, but not me. He said, I just don't believe there is a God. Here's a man, $26 billion, and he's filled with unbelief. There's one question I want you to answer for me. The Bible said that God is no respecter of persons. And here's my question. Why would God deliver Steve Fender from unbelief and allow Warren Buffett, the richest man in the world, to be filled with unbelief? the greatest thing God ever did in my life. I don't want $26 billion. I don't want to own the Cowboys, and I certainly don't want to be president. But I want to thank God today that I literally have no unbelief. Now, I'm not saying I have faith for every occasion, but I'm saying that my resident faith is always there. It never wavers. There is a God, and He's a good God all the time. He hears my prayer. He literally takes my hand. He leads me and guides me. When I came to San Antonio as a young man, I won a young lady to the Lord. She became my secretary for years, and she was an amazing secretary because she had been a legal secretary for one of the greatest lawyers in San Antonio. So he became my lawyer, and he was a great guy. He and I became really good friends, and I would go to him. He never charged me. I'd go to him with any legal situation I had, any legal counsel I needed, any paperwork. He never charged me. And finally, one day, he said, "Tell me about Jesus." And so I told him about Jesus.